thank God for church that love God, that loves God and loves God's word. Thank you all. Always thank my board. We had a meeting last week. I thank my board for working with me. And this is one thing I tell the board. Don't let me get away with anything. The worst thing you could let a pastor do is get away with stuff. So, board, hold me accountable because I'm holding you accountable. Pastor's not trying to get away with anything but bringing the word of God and glorifying God, edifying the people so we all can be stronger and better. Amen. And well equipped when we go out and minister to others. So that's what you get here. And I'm just so thankful that God has surrounded me with good people like you all. And you've committed your lives to God and to South Bay, to each other, and to the purposes of God. Amen? Amen. So thank you so much. And Lord, we thank you for this word that we're about to receive. Lord, we thank you that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way. And God, as we're trying to navigate daily through a dark, dying, decaying world, Lord, let us be wise because of your words. Let us have insight. Give us discernment so we can see the schemes of the enemy and how he's trying to attack our marriages and our homes and our kids and our grandkids and our families. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment through your word, Lord. Let us not be caught off guard. Let us not be caught sleeping. Don't let us be lazy when it comes to your word. Let us study to show ourselves approved. Let us continue to come into church so we can get fed and we can grow and we can learn and we can have a victorious Christian life. Without your word, we wouldn't know what to do, but because of your word, we know what to do and we know how to do it. So let us follow your word. Let us live your word. Now speak to us through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, family, we have been talking about, this is like part 12. We've been talking about love. Our base scripture for this series has been Romans 12 and 9. Make a note of it. It says, let your love be without dissimulation. Let your love be without hypocrisy. So, That led us to 1 John 4, which talked about love, which says if we can't love each other, which is horizontal, then we really don't love God with his relationship, which is vertical. It also took us to 1 Corinthians 13, where it broke down exactly what love was and love wasn't. Last week, it took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where it says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So what does it mean if you love God? Which took us to Romans 8:28, which says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And those of you who weren't here last week, I had my magic lamp and I was rubbing it, saying all things work together for good. But that's not true if you don't love God. And God is not a genie in a bottle and a magic lamp that you can rub and say, I need this, I need that. God, make it happen, make it happen. It doesn't work that way. There are conditions and promises said you must love God. Yes. So here we go. That led us to John 14 and 15. So we determined last week that either we're practicing discipline or we're practicing sin. I didn't think I would get too many amens with that one, but that's where we are. That's where you, me standing here, you sitting there, us, we, all of us. What does that mean? It means that either we're practicing living a disciplined life or we're practicing sin. Amen. My wife and I, we had the privilege of, they invited us out to Maranatha Community Church. They had a couples panel. And couples, it just happened so fast and they called us and We were thinking all the time it would have been a blessing for our couples to be there too. But they were, and they had singles there, and they were asking us, well, what do you do when you're single? So since you have a wife, you have a husband that you can take care of certain needs and all that, what do? I said, well, it's the same thing you do when you're married. You practice discipline. Because how you practice is how you play. If you have no discipline when you're single, you will have no discipline when you're married. Amen. Men. And when that secretary comes and that other person comes and says, hey, you're looking good today. What's going on? And Satan's already set it up because you had an argument with your wife and you had no discipline because you never practiced it. You're going to find yourself in sin. And now it affects your kids, your household, the covenant you have between each other and God. So I told them this. You do the same thing. You practice discipline. Marriage is not a quick way to say I need to do my own thing. That's not why you get married. You get married because of the covenant you have with each other and God. Because if you have no discipline, those of us who played sports, I remember the coach would tell us how you practice is how you play. You can't come to practice and be all sloppy and expect to start the game. You can't come to practice and just fool around. And when the game time comes, you're going to be the best on the field. It doesn't happen. So it ties in what we're talking about. Either you're practicing discipline, living right, or you say, man, hey, I'm just, you know, I got needs. I'm doing my own thing. I mean, everybody sins. I mean, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And you're practicing sin. Okay. John 14 and 15. All right. So we talked about love being horizontal, how we love each other. If a man say he loved God and he hates his brother, he detests his brother, he's a liar. And it just doesn't work that way. And then here's the vertical relationship. Verse 15, God says, Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say do. Simple as that. All the parents said amen. Amen. Same thing we tell our kids because it's a relationship. It's based on me having your best interest in mind. Son, I don't think you should hang out with those young men. I know what they're doing. I know what they're up to. Just trust me. Just you need to find another group to hang out with. We tell our daughters the same thing. Oh, those girls don't. I don't know if you should. Don't go over there. I'm just telling you. Just listen to daddy. You don't want to. I'm not trying to stop you from having a good time and from having fun. I'm trying to protect you from self-destructing. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, just do what I say. Verse 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Jesus was a comforter while they were there. He's saying that he's going to give you another. Through your obedience comes the Holy Spirit. That word comforter is the paraclete in the Greek, which means the helper. Christ is saying, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another helper that he may abide with you sometimes. He will abide with you when he feels like it. God says the Holy Spirit is with you forever. Whether you feel like it or whether you don't. Amen. We all can be honest. There's times where I'm like, God, where are you? God, this is the help that you promised me? God is there. He said, through your obedience comes the power of the Holy Spirit. So write down your first note. Obedience brings power. Now, if you're wondering why my life feels like it doesn't have any power to it, my prayers don't feel like they're being answered, then you got to, am I lined up with God's word? Am I being obedient? Do I really love God? Well, how do you know if you love God? There must be some evidence. If you love God, then you do what he says. Well, what does he say? Read his word to find out. Keep coming to church to find out. And if it's that important to you, then you'll do it. We research, it amazes me. We research everything but God's word. We'll know everything there is to know about everything else. Industries, fads. Remember, Facebook. Get your face in this book. Amen. All and everything that's good. We'll research it. When it comes to the word of God, I ain't got time for that. So then your priorities are out of order. So again, you're practicing discipline or you're practicing sin. Those of us in school, man, I tell you, I like school, but I hated studying. Amen? Amen. as you, I'm so glad that I got, that I did it at the time where I had, when I had to, because, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine trying to go to school now. Now, I would go, I mentioned I'll go back to school for ministry and all that. I love that, but all that other stuff, studying, that was, I hated that. But you got to have discipline. Nobody likes school. Who likes school? Who likes studying? All right, we got a few. Amen. All right, we got a few. Let me ask this. Who really does not like studying? Yeah, we got a few more. But you got to have discipline. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. So you're not going to feel like reading the word, but you go, find scriptures, find short scriptures. And if you say, Pastor, I don't know where to start, then talk to me after service. I'll let you know where to start. But you have to get into the habit, because if you practice it, you'll get good at it. If you practice living right, you'll get good at it. If you practice living wrong and raggedy, you'll get good at that too. So remember, either practicing discipline or we're practicing sin. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I say, and I'll send you another comforter. And he says, underline forever. Because the Holy Spirit is not a sometime helper. He's not sometimey. He's not like some of the friends we know and we hang out with. God is not going to abandon you when you need him the most. That's the enemy who will fill your head and make you think if God really loves you, you wouldn't be where you are now. Look what you're going through. God said he'll always be with you. That's the enemy with those lies. You resist and rebuke him in the name of Jesus. James 4:7 says, you submit yourself, therefore, unto God, resist the enemy, and he'll flee from you. So when he's trying to tell you that God is not with you and God doesn't have your back, you go to James 4:7. But it says you have to submit to God and then you resist. If you're trying to resist without submitting, that's not the formula. Verse 17, it says, even the spirit of truth, underline the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's why the world can't receive this. This organized system of deception hates the truth. And if you stand up, they can't receive it. So we can't be perplexed. We can't be surprised that the world doesn't receive us. It's just part of the process. Nobody wants to hear that marriage is between man and a woman. No, you're intolerant. You're a bigot. You're this, you're that. The world can't receive the truth. The men don't want to hear that you have one wife and you don't have some side piece. They don't want to hear that. Oh man, you always got to have. No, you don't. That's the lie. That's why I said the spirit of what? The spirit of truth. Nobody wants to walk by the truth. So don't be perplexed that it's not receiving you, because it's not going to. Remember, God didn't call us to fit in, but to stand out. Yes, yes. And to stand on his word. Yes. So here we go. Even the spirit of truth, make sure you underline truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And he gives you revelation. He gives you insight. That's why you can be in a situation and you know that it's not right, and you know it's not the truth, and you know it's wrong. And then either you choose to do it, or you choose to show your love to Christ and do what he says to do. Because if you've accepted Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit is there. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you an orphan. Even if you don't know your mom or your dad, Christ said, I am your father. I'm the father to the fatherless, the mother to the motherless. I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. So you can't even use that as an excuse. How you grew up or where you came from, God said, that's over. I will not leave you comfortless. He told us through Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. So we understand that our true life is in Christ. Amen. Outside of Christ, we don't have life. Yes. It tells us that in 1 John 5, I want to say 12. He that has the Son has life. He does not have the Son does not have life. That's a tough word, Pastor, I know. You can exist and not have life. You can live a full life and not have eternal life. You can exchange the temporary for the permanent. Well, while I'm here, I'm going to have a good time. Well, remember, last week we talked about it? Zig Ziglar said he did the research and he found out that you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're going to be alive. Think about that. You're going to be dead. You and I, we're going to be dead a lot longer than we're going to be alive. You better find out what's going on with eternity in real life. The world can't receive it. They'll try and make you, talk you into heaven. You'll die. He was a good person. He was a great this. He was a great that. But according to the scriptures, they never lived. And then they go into a Christless eternity. But that's the way the world does it, because the organized system of deception, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, that's what we've been studying all year. You got to understand who we're battling against. Don't battle against the wrong enemy. It's not people. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why they'll make you think someone who lived a crazy, raggedy life died and is in a better place. And they say they'll rest in peace. If you didn't live in peace, how are you going to rest in peace? That's, it just doesn't happen. Family, we just can't. I told you last week, I just got to come here and equip us so we can be wise as we see this world falling apart and the lies that is sending us and that is sending our kids, and that we train up our kids the right way so they'll understand. So when our youth, when we see them 10, 20 years from now, they'll say, Pastor, you did tell us the truth. Regardless of what they did with their life, you guys were real with us. They'll say, Minister Raymond, they'll thank you. They'll probably want to wash your feet. Because, brother, you gave us the truth every Sunday. And whether we lived it or not, you gave it to us. And we give it just like the world give it. Straight up. Because I tell you, when our youth are there at the schools and in colleges, and this is one thing I just found out. By being a college professor. That's why I hated school. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. When I was doing work in the prison system, I used to think that the prisons were the breeding ground for Satan, which they are. And then when I stepped foot on the college campus, I realized that's the breeding ground too. Gosh, we'll send our kids to college for a great education. And then they'll get there and they'll start teaching about secular humanism. They'll start teaching them about tolerance. They'll start teaching about that we all need to get along. And that book is outdated. And they'll teach them. I was on campus yesterday. I had to do a seminar. That's why I wasn't with the men. And as I was walking back, I said, this is ridiculous. I guess because, and it's a Saturday. It wasn't even a school day. I'm just trying to get to my car. And I guess because they're not at home anymore and not under the guise of their parents and they shop for themselves, you should see what the young ladies are wearing. I'm going, this is ridiculous. I think the shorts might have been made as much material as my tie. I'm going, is this where I'm preparing? This is what my kids see every day? This is what my son's seeing in New Orleans? This is what my daughter sees? And this is what I'm training my daughter. You want to go to college? You want to go to... This is what I'm training her to... I'm telling you. Thank you, Brother Raymond. Amen. Thank you. Because the world is not playing. And we're not going to play in here either. Amen? Amen? So here we go. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day, when it's all revealed, see, Jesus is speaking, make a note, he's speaking of the Trinity. So at that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father. So Christ is in the Father, and we're in Christ, and Christ is in us. Quickly, 1 John 5 and 7. Quickly turn there so you can see this for yourself. 1 John 5, 7. If you dare, say amen. I said 1 John 5, 7. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Ah, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And what about them? And these three are one. That's the Trinity. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. That's a whole nother message we're going to get into at another time. But make note of verse 7. The Father, the Word, in the beginning, and we know, make a note, John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. So it speaks of the Trinity. That's why Christ said that at that day in verse 20, turn back with me to John 14 and 20. At that day, you should know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I'm in you. Because of the Trinity, the three are one. Verse 21, he says, he that has my commandments. Are you there? 14 and 21? He that has my commandments and keeps them, okay, so two key words, have. He that hold on to my commandments and then guard them. The word keep is guard, is he that loves me. So he said, if you have my commandments, if you're holding on to my word and you guard it, then you love me. He's saying you guard what you love. How many of you came here this morning and you left your front door wide open? Oh, because you guard your house because you love what's inside your house. So you guard your heart, your house, but not your heart. Wow. So you'll keep your house protected, but you won't keep your heart protected. How many of you left your car, windows down, keys in the ignition, come and get it? Anybody? Oh, so you'll lock your car. You'll keep your car, but not your character. Wow. He said you guard what you love. You put a fence up around it. You protect it. So you're telling me that your house is more important than your heart? You'll let anything come to your heart? Ladies, do you guard the men you allow to come in your life? Do you guard your life and put that fence up so just not anybody? All right, hey, let's go out. Let's hang out. Do you, what are you guarding? We guard things that we love. You will guard the green paper in your pocket or the silver kind that jingles. You will guard the paper, but you won't guard your prayer life. You don't have a time when you pray to God. But you guard the paper in your pocket. Oh, Pastor, I know Pastor stuff. I told you. We got to be equipped. Jesus, let me see. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments, you hold on to them and you guard them, is the ones who love me. So how do you know if you love God? Are you guarding the commandments? Are you guarding your heart? You'll fight to protect your kids and your grandkids, but you won't fight to protect the anointing that's on your life and the call that's on your life. And the rest we're going to have to pick up next week. Oh, let us pray quickly. And here's the ninth month. We've had communion. We've examined our heart. We've examined where we are. And then now we got to examine our love relationship with God. God says our love relationship with Him is two-way. You do what I say because I have your best interest in mind. God says you do what I say because I can see around the corner and you can only see up the street. And He said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. God says, I can see what you can't see. So it means that you trust, you depend, you commit your life to Christ. Or either you're going to say, God, I got this, I can do it. Even though I can only see up the street, I'm cool with that. Whatever happens, happens. God is saying, you got to guard our relationship. Just like husbands, He's telling us we have to guard our relationship with our wife. We don't let anything come into our relationship. Are you kidding me? Who do you let come in between those that you love? That's what Christ is saying. Why do people keep coming between us? I need you to guard. If you love, be guarded. If you really enjoy our love relationship, then you need to guard it. God, help us this morning. As we're examining our entire relationship with you and with each other, you said, let your love be without hypocrisy. If we love you, God, then we're going to guard it. If not, we're going to let any and everything come in between it, and we'll be confused and cloudy and living raggedy. And then the funny thing is, we'll blame you for that. So, Lord, I want to pray for anyone who might be here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But today I need to get my life right with Christ. Because he that has a son has life, and he that has a son does not have life. If that's you, elevate your hand if you want to get right with Christ this morning. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. If I'm examining myself this month, then I'm examining it and I have to be real that I'm not where I should be. We've all had to do it. It's just called getting back in fellowship with Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to rededicate your life this morning. You want to get back on track and stay on track. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need a church home. I've just kind of been out and nowhere to call home. But from the worship to the word, I know this is a place where I know my purpose is to make disciples, but to find my method and how to do it. I believe I can do that here. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your people. I'd love to be your pastor. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. As you're going through the pews up and down and you're touching hearts and minds and lives, and we're all in a moment of reflection. We thank you that it's because of your grace we are who we are and what we are. And we thank you that through our obedience to you, we express our love for you. Thank you for a great day today. Thank you for allowing us to put our life in perspective for these 90 minutes. And how 90 minutes can change us for time and eternity. We thank you for the power of 90 minutes, Lord. So we go out and make disciples, live holy and live right. Do our best to be a great example for you, Christ. So we thank you and we bless you for this day. It is truly the day that you have made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug. You are dismissed. Hey, gee, thanks. Jamaica. You called me out. The world turns.